WRUU 850. Anybody awake out there? How about station 902? You awake? WSOZ 793. I guess not. No contact. Station 902. But this is me, 793, and I'm listening. How now? Now, now. Under the cover of darkness. Israel snuck into Iran and said, "What's up?" So what's going on? Everybody hurting this morning? Anybody awake yet? WSU 202. We're always awake. Holy cow. Finally, somebody, some kind of sign of life.
We're just doing other things, man. Didn't turn the radio on.
Yeah, I've been out here since, I think, 4:30. Every once in a while, I'm grabbing the mic. I'm going, anybody awake? Where's everybody at? Nobody answered, man. It was dead. So then I asked. I said, hey, everybody must be hurting this morning.
Yeah, that authorized medicine's kicking in, man. We're doing good.
Yeah, that's cool. WSOZ 793 for ID, since I forgot to throw it in the beginning there. Yeah, finally, somebody's awake. Man, Jesus. Usually on a weekday, about this time, there's a few signs of life out there. Hell, it was dead up until you keyed up.
Well, at least you got her to listen to every 15 minutes or every hour, whatever it is.
Nice. I have a mic hanger mounted to my wall here to the left of me, and I hang the mic up when I'm not talking that way, because I have a habit sometimes of knocking my water over and stuff, or whatever I'm drinking, and that, you know, that's all I need is to knock the water into my microphone and blow things up. So if I'm not talking, I hang it up there, and every once in a while I was pulling it off the hanger and keying up. Anybody dead? Anybody alive? Anybody awake? And dead. And I was like, wow, man, everybody must have been partying last night.
Did your keyboard make the recover?
Nah, I had to get another one. As time went on, she got worse and worse, and I hit the Q button, and it would turn up a W, and then the rest of the keys, I hit them, and some letters would come up, some would do nothing. Oh, with you. Yeah, I got another one here. My brother-in-law had one. Thank God, because I was going to order one. And he told me, he said, is that USB? I said, yeah, it's a USB keyboard. He said, oh, yeah, I got about three or four of those that just laying around. I said, well, I'll take one. And so I'm back in business.
Yeah, there you go. At least you got that going. How about your neck, man? How's that one doing?
Oh, it's all right today. It still hurts, but not like you can tell it's going away. But sometimes, man, I don't know what's worse—the actual pain of the neck hurting itself, or the healing part, because it hurts almost as bad sometimes when it's healing. But no, it's pretty good today. Just a little bit of pain, nothing. I wouldn't even know it until I think about it. But so thank God for that.
Pretty funny how you don't realize how much your head weighs until it starts hurting, eh?
Yeah, something like that. It's true. But I don't know if I laid wrong or what. My life, man, you know, anything's possible. A couple months ago, I pinched a nerve in my neck from laying the wrong way or something. Let me tell you, that was 300 times worse than what I was going through the past couple of days. I mean, if I was laying down and I had to get up to go to the bathroom or something, man, when I'd sit up, I'd have to grip my teeth, squeeze my eyes real tight, so that son of a gun hurt, man. It felt like somebody was clamping down on the left side of my neck with a pair of vice grips, and I'd have to sit there, wait for the pain to go away, but it was nasty. I mean, you know, I usually can take pain pretty good, but if it's enough pain to make me squint my eyes and grip my teeth hard and go, then it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, I've torn my neck up pretty bad, and, you know, growing up, you know, riding, racing dirt bikes and shit, you know, out there, oops, sorry about that. Out there in Memphis, Ward Hill, and we had a track set up, and I'd crash all the time, go, you know, bike go over top of my head, and I'd have to, when I sleep at night, I'd have to lay on a towel so I could actually pull on the towel to help myself, you know, underneath my head to help myself sit back up in the morning. That's how bad it was, man. Wow, it was, that's painful, man, for sure. Now, I get shots in my spine. You know, in my neck, you know, every 4 or 5 months here at Roger, and I'm ready to get another one.
Yeah, Roger, that. I don't think I'm ready for that yet, but the way things are going here with me, my body and everything, I'll probably be somewhere down the road there too, but I don't think I'm ready just yet. It's just, you know, these things happen. I never used to go through this stuff when I was young. I mean, yeah, one time maybe in a blue moon I used to wake up with a sore neck or something, right, laid the wrong way, or, you know, riding my mini bike around on unpaved crap or something. Who knows? But now it seems common, man. Maybe I need a new bed. Maybe I need some new pills. Oh, I don't know. I ain't no doctor.
Well, we went out and got one of them special pillows, you know, it's got the curve in it and all that stuff, you know, and went through all that and got the shots in my neck, and then we finally realized that what's irritating, I mean, the whole back of my head would be numb when I'd wake up in the morning, and what was causing it, because it stopped doing it now, is the rubber band in my ponytail. I lay on it all the time, and it sits right in that soft spot of part of my back of my head all the time, Roger.
Oh, that's strange. Ponytail causing that. But then again, anything's possible at our age.
Well, that rubber band, that first band, you know, up against your skull there, you know, I wear several down my ear, but that first one when you lay down. It pushes right in that soft spot at the back of your head, your skull, and it pushes on it all night long, you know, because I sleep on my back, right? So since I've been at night, I slide it down so it's not there anymore. Now I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, Roger. Many years ago, probably around 99 or 2000 or something, I was drinking. I was in my room and I was drinking and I was messing around on the CD and, you know, giving people hell and doing the stuff that I used to do. And I passed out in the chair. I don't know, my wrist was still on the table. I don't know, I woke up sometime in the morning or during the day, and my whole wrist was numb, all the way from up on my shoulder down to almost my hand. I don't know if I laid on it, what I did, but it hasn't really recovered since. It was really numb, and to this day, it's still slightly numb from back then.
I guess it's just straight up IRH. Hey, let me go grab a cup of coffee, WSEU 202. Be right back.
Hey, Roger that. WSFZ 793 ID. And I'm listening.
All right, I'm back. Give me a minute to find my thermos.
All right, I'll be back in a sec. I'm being paid. Oh. WSFZ 793, and I'm back. Listening.
ABF Juliet 839 monitoring.
WSAI 620 monitoring. CTAR 566 on the air monitoring.
WSGG 772, Shelby Township monitoring.
WRVV 525.
NAWE.
Station 922. Station 922, WIUG, 48, copy. WIGX, 218. WIGX, 218. WIUG, 48, copy. WIGX, 218. WIUG, 48, copy. WSDI 847, WIUG 48, copy. WSDI 847, WIUG 48, copy.
WSEU 202, good afternoon to you, Jack. WIUG 48, still got a copy. This is WRWB 49. Again, this is WRWB 489 calling station WRUG 48. Got a copy.
Go ahead, 488.
What's going on this afternoon, Jack?
Oh, nothing much. How about you?
Just on my way home from work, so.
Did you be glad to get off of work late? Now, anyhow, it's a nice outside.
Probably go do some fishing here, so.
That's good. Anyhow, I'll talk later because I got to go inside shopping. I'm just walking out, you know, in the building. Talk to you a little bit later. Thanks for calling. WIUG 48.
Alright, Jack, we'll catch you later. This is WRWB 489, and we'll be standing by.
Did you do that to try to prove some point?
The braking station there, go ahead. Braking station there, go ahead. Yes, not. Alright, WRWB 489, we'll be standing by.
WSCI 847, WIUG 48, copy.
I guess not.
WIUG 48, clear. Station 922, WIUG 48, copy. Station 544, WIUG 48, copy.
WSCI 847, WIUG 48,
copy. DSSZ 793, and I'm listening. Hello, Dave. WIUG 48.
Good afternoon, Jack. Looks like the big boys are finally out here to play. How are you today, sir?
Very good. How about you?
I am doing all right. Found me some zip screws and mounted this BB-90 right on top of the power supply. Got it all nice and mounted down tight, so when I talk on the mic, the radio doesn't try turning sideways. They're okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. How am I sounding? Am I sounding good, or a little bit of scratchy or something like that?
You got a little bacon fry in there with you, not continuously. You sound okay. I mean, you're readable and everything, and you sound all right, but you get a little bacon fry here and there, and then, you know, and then you're back normal again.
Sure, yeah, I know, because I'm driving. That's why. When you're driving, it's just a little bit different. Roger?
Yeah, Roger, Dad. I should have figured that out. Excuse me. Man, you're always driving, dude. When is it ever you're not driving?
Always. Go here, go there, come back here. Go get this, go get that. And that's how it goes.
No, I'm just messing. Every time I hear you, most cases, you're out driving to shopping or doing something there. Yeah, I was out here yesterday morning, and had a station come out of New York on me, and I forgot where he said he was, but yeah, he was sounding pretty good too. He was coming in pretty nice there, okay.
That guy's always coming nice. Well, he's there at in New York, you know, Buffalo, New York. He's by the Niagara Falls. That's what he is. The other side of Niagara Falls. I don't know if you know, you've been that one that way or not. But they always sound good. And he's got that radio. He's got that Motorola 50-watt radio.
Yeah, Roger, that. Well, that's probably why then. why he's getting such good condition, because he sounded really good. It's most of the time, it's been a past few mornings that I've said hello to New York, being out here, you know, like 7 o'clock in the morning there and stuff. Like you said, that's usually the time they come out is during the a.m. But I got up at like 3:30 this morning. I sat out here until like 7 o'clock and it was dead. I was keying up every once in a while asking if there's anybody out here awake, and man, it was dead. It's been dead till almost evening now. We're there, okay.
I see what you're saying. There was a lot of people, you know, where they were coming from, I call it Down River, but I don't know these people. They were about, I would say, 40, 50 people there. They were calling every day. I don't know what happened to them now, but you know what? Because it's the summer, and everybody gets out, and sometimes they don't feel like talking on the radio. You know, like they want to visit this, they want to do it, go on vacation, and all that stuff.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, it ain't no big thing. It's just, I've never heard it so dead on a Saturday before, and I was keen up going, boy, everybody must be hurting today, this morning from last night or something. Trying to get a rise out of somebody. I did get 202 in there, but that was about the only person I talked to. Hey, I got a surprise yesterday. I was talking to somebody, and I think 993, I asked somebody, what's the maximum you can run on 2 meter? And 993 looked it up and came back. He told me 1,500 watts, man, peak envelope. So 1,500 peak envelope would come out to around 1,100 through the antenna. Wow, man, that's true.
Yeah, it is. It is. When you get the technician, you'll be okay with 1,500 watts pushing out. There's antennas out there, and I'm gonna get one. It's a 3,000 watts antenna.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, like I've said before, you know, I'm still kind of learning up here about GMRS and 2 meter and stuff. You know, I still got a lot, quite a bit to learn, but I know down in the HF band, I believe 1,000 is the maximum. I think 1,000 is the maximum you can run on 20, 40, and 80 meter and stuff, but you know, I figured 2 meter, I figured maybe 100, 200. I still would have been surprised at 200, but he come back and said 1,500 peak envelope there, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get up to 1,500 with no problem at all. And you know what? I think I'm going to order that it's commercial antenna. And there's one, it's got 5,000 watt antenna out there. Yeah, I can go on 10 meter, 2 meter, or 70 centimeter.
Yeah, Roger that. You going to get yourself an amplifier, too? Or maybe I misread you. You talking about ordering a new antenna or ordering an amplifier? Uh-oh. I don't know where you went, Jack, but no response. Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, I suppose. WSSD 793 listening. Yeah, I can hear you. You have to choke up on the mic a little bit. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I can hear your mods a little low.
How about now? Is now any better?
Oh, yeah, you're perfect right there. Perfect. No bacon fry. No later. No bacon fry, no nothing. Modulation clean. Sounds good.
Wait, I have up where Mike was talking about that 817. He said he modified that. What was that? Yezu what? Because I like to get one.
Yeah, I can't remember the model number. I love Yezu gear, though. In fact, that's how I found out, because I don't know, me and him were talking about, I asked him what's the, if he knows the max power you can run on GMRS, and he said he didn't know, and then Chad chimed in and said he looked it up, so it was a 1500 peak envelope. So 1500 peak envelope in would be about 1100 out, maybe 1000, 1100 out calculated. But I don't know what model it is, but I know he said he had to yank the resistor out of it or something to get it to transmit GMRS.
Well, if you hear him out there, ask him and let me know what model is it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll do that for you. Usually I talk to him when I'm out here. I don't know if the other side's hooked up or not.
We're not connected at all. I just tried to get a hold of Bob. I couldn't get a hold of him. No big deal. Roger?
Yeah, Roger. There's no big deal here either. I just, if we're hooked up, we talk. If we don't, we don't. But, you know, Mike's over there in Saginaw, and usually if he hears me out here, you know, what me and you were talking about, he chimed in there at the other side, because he's usually out here quite a lot. So he would chime in. He'd be already chiming in on it. No, I don't know what model. I knew it yesterday. If you'd asked me yesterday, I probably could have told you, but I done forgot. But he told me that when he got it, it wouldn't it would receive GMRS, but wouldn't transmit GMRS, which kind of surprised me. And then he said he looked up on the internet and found out all you had to do is take a resistor out and remove a resistor and it would transmit GMRS, and he said that's what he did, and now in fact he was talking to me off it. Okay.
You know what that mean to me? That means that there's no plus on that radio. That's what it is. Because when he said it cannot transmit, I mean the plus. There's no plus on that radio.
Somehow, I was under the impression that somebody was told me, somewhere along the lines, that 100 watts is the maximum you can run GMRS. And he said his radio does 120, 110 out the box on GMRS. And I told him, I said, that's probably why it won't transmit GMRS, because it's doing more than 100, and, by all means, that's illegal, anything over 100. And that's why Yezu probably, disabled the transmit on GMRS. That was my guess.
I don't believe that. There's no radio runners 100 watts. I haven't seen one for GMRS at all. They're all 50 watts, and that's it. And you know what? Three-quarter of them, they're not even 50 watts. I tried so many of them, and none of them give you 50 watts.
Yeah, I thought 50 watts was the max for GMRS. I don't know how the conversation got to 100, because I told them most of them Yezu radios, the MHLs and everything, they do 100 out of the box. They're supposed to do 100 out of the box, and but I wasn't sure about his, because his doesn't go down to HF or anything. It's just a UHF VHF unit. But somehow I was under the impression that 100 watts was the max on GMRS. I don't know what. Sometimes I ride the short bus. I'm not thinking sometimes. But he told me it does 120 out, and I told him, well, that's probably why they disabled the GMRS, because it's 20 watts too much. Well, in this case, it'd be whatever, you do the math. But I thought that would be about it, because I thought, well, if it covers GMRS, it should you know, you'd think they would put a circuit in there or something to knock it down to 50 watts. If you got on GMRS with it, it would transmit, but only to 50 watts here, Roger.
I try so many radios, the oddity and all that, they don't do over, no way do over 50 watts. You know, you might, the 50 watt, the 100 watt radios that they use, the one like an HF, a VHF, those big radios. But the other one, you know,
like what we got, no, they ain't going to do that, believe me. I tried so many of them.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, I've heard people out here saying that the radio doesn't do what it's advertised to do. It's not doing the 20 watts or 40 watts or whatever it's supposed to do. Now, according to my watt meter, the one I bought brand new and everything, it's close. I ran a dummy load. I have a dummy load, and that's like true wattage. To reach a true wattage, you've got to go through a dummy load. And my low side on my DB is 5, my medium is 10, and on high it's like 19.8. So it's close enough to 20. And the same thing also sits with my bow thing, UU5RM. It's supposed to be 10 watts on high. And it pulls, it does about 9 point something on high, so it's close enough for me. They're okay.
I believe that. That is 100%. I haven't seen anything over 10 watts on those small radios yet. But in fact, there is one 12 watt, but that's no big deal. You know what I'm saying? There's one that just came out. If you look at it, so huge and so heavy, and it's long.
Yeah, Roger. That was a handheld.
Yeah, it's a handheld, but they're so heavy and so big, unbelievable. They go 12 watt. Yeah, I believe that, and that's all I tested at one time. But I sent it back. I didn't want that.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, as you know, when I started out in GMRS, I bought a pair of UV5RM Baofengs, and they were advertised as 10 watts. And right off the bat, I thought, nah, there's no way. You know, that's false advertising and stuff. But I don't care. I didn't care. I bought them anyway. I didn't care if they do 5. As long as they hit the repeater. As long as I can hit Mount Clemens in Detroit, I don't care if the thing does 2 watts. As long as it does what it's supposed to do, you know, as long as it works for me. But like I said, I came to, it's about 9 point something. I think 9.3 or 9.4 on the watt meter. It's a brand new watt meter that I bought. So, you know, it's close, but, and there's a lot of people out here I talk to, like Chad and everybody, it was a little ways from the repeater, but able to hit their repeaters off 4 or 5 watts. I'd be happy with that. I don't really care how much the radio does. Even if the CB20 was only doing like 12, 13 watts on the high side, I wouldn't care as long as it works, okay?
I say, I don't want to put, you know, what they call it, the heck they call it, you know, radiation. They call it radiation. I don't want no radiation on me, you know, I talk on the radio. I don't want that at all. I don't mind staying below 10.
Yeah, Roger. I heard stories about that through all the years, all through the years, even in my CB days and stuff. I've heard stories about handhelds up in UHF, VHF bands and stuff, you know, hell, I heard stories about cell phones can give you brain cancer or whatever. You know, I'm not saying it can't happen, you know, I'm not saying it's a myth, but I ain't no scientist either, and I'm not an RF engineer, but I can see your point, though, okay?
Yeah, I don't like that at all anyhow. Well, I'm on my destination. Good talking to you, Dave. And you take care. And you have a good day. WIUG 48.
Yeah, right, Jack. Fine business, man. Same here. It was good talking to you. Always is good talking to you. You know, I hear you out there. I got to sneak in there when I can and say good morning or afternoon, whatever the case may be. So you take care. You have yourself a good rest of the day, my friend. WSSD 793, and I'm listening.
Anytime, Dave. No problem at all. Take care. WIUG, 48, clear.
Roger, roger.
WCHR, 566 on the air monitoring.
Is that my buddy Kevin?
Yep, sure is.
Good afternoon, my friend. What's happening?
Oh, not much. I'm in the backyard. I took a break. Trying to get rid of some of these weeds in the flower beds just so I can plant some flowers. So I figured I'd take a break. I heard you talking to Jack, so I figured I'd come in and say hi to you.
Yeah, Roger, that's cool. It's always good to talk to you. Did you find a pillar yet?
Did I find what?
A pillar.
Oh no, not yet. My dad's got one of those like sod cutters, but it's bent. You know, it's curved, and then it has a blade on it. I've been using that and getting under them and doing that to them. It would be better if I had like a small pillar, but so I'm doing that right now. But no, I haven't found one yet. I thought all my friends on there, somebody would have had one, but I guess not.
Roger that. Now, there was a time back when I lived in New Haven, I had about three or four of the mantis pillars, not to mention a whole stash of parts and engines and stuff. I liked them. They worked. You know, you get on Marketplace, man, you'd be amazed what you could find, you know, for either a mantis or one of them regular, you know, bigger walk-behind pillars, man. They're going cheap, cheap, cheap.
Yeah, you're talking about the mantis. You're talking about that little two-cycle one, right?
Yes. At first, they were all two-cycle. I don't know, some years back, can't remember when, they started coming out with four-cycle ones. But I ran them both, and the four-cycle's all right. But it don't have the scream and the get up and go like the two-cycle there, okay?
Yeah, copy that. I was looking at them at Menards the other day. They had one there for $200, and it didn't have the spikes on it. It had the regular rototiller blades on it. But I was thinking, I'm going to buy it, but how many times am I going to use it, you know? Like you said, maybe I'll be able to find one, you know, online maybe for $50, $60 or something, you know?
Roger, or even cheaper than that. I'm seeing them on there even cheaper than that, like $30. Says it runs and everything, you know. You go over there and look at it, just start it up, make sure it starts and runs. And Mantis, or even the Mantis knockoff, like the Craftsman's and stuff. It's all just a couple lousy moving parts. As long as the motor runs and the time spin, you're in pretty good shape. But I could see your point. You know, why put that much money into something if you're not sure how many times you're going to use it? But then again, if you need it, you need to do it, and ain't nobody to loan you one. You know, you'll kind of be glad you did there, okay?
Yeah, copy that. I mean, I probably would use it more in the beds over here. You know, I probably would use it once or twice a year, but I just can't see spending $200, you know?
Yeah, Roger that. Well, $200 is a bit. Oh, they're brand, but you're talking brand new, right?
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, they have the the little mantises there, and then they had the big hogs, but I don't eat nothing that big.
Now, what I would recommend for you is look up Marketplace, man. I guarantee, you know, there's mantises, and then like I said, there's other ones, knockoff of mantises, like the Craftsman. They're all the same. They're basically two-cycle engine on top of a plate with a pair of tines underneath. And I mean cheap, like $30. I've seen them as low as $30. Runs, take home, $30 and things like that. It's the same thing with you. There's people that use them and don't have no use for them no more and want to get them out of the way of out of the shed or whatever. But like I said, I've had quite a few of them. And I've always liked them. They're all mantises. And they always ran good for me. And, you know, lucky. The cool thing about them is you can hang them up so they're not on the floor in your way. Just hang the thing up in the corner and just let the thing sit there. You never know. One day you're going to need it. That was me. My flower beds when I lived at my trailer were small. They weren't that big. And so I ran it. I probably used it twice a year, my main one there, okay?
Yeah, copy that, because that soil back here is real hard, so I don't even know if it should go through it, though, because them things, they spin pretty good, so.
I'll tell you right now, my friend, from experience, you get into the hard soil with them things, you got to be all you can be because they like to bounce up. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but you take the tines off, you put them on one way, and they're for digging. You know, digging down in. Then you take them off and you put them on the other way, and they're for cultivating there, okay?
Oh, copy that. Yeah, I didn't know that's good info, yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad, one way for digging and the other way just for cultivating, yeah. That wouldn't be a bad idea at all.
Yeah, when you look at the way the tines are shaped, it's pretty obvious if you look at them, you'll see, because you can take them off and reverse them. And when you put them back on, the ends of the tines are pointing down. So when you get in the dirt, they'll dig down into the dirt. And then when you put them on the other way, it's like the sides of the tines are pointing down for like, you know, you already dug your stuff, now you just want to break it up nicely and everything. You just turn the tines around. All mantises are like that. And, you know, the motors on them are pretty tough, man. They can take a beating. I've ran them hard, and they just kept coming back for more. First pull every time, and I don't care how long it's sat. The thing would sit in the shed over winter and whatever, you know, and through the beginning of spring and everything. I pull it out, I lay the choke down, hit the button a couple times, the primer, and one yank, that thing would fire up. But I tell you right now, though, the only thing is they're a little light. And if you get down in, even if you have it on dig, you get it down in some hard soil, man, you're going to have to spread your legs and hang on to it because it's going to want to bounce up, and the tiller's going to bounce up and down on you and everything there.
Yeah, copy that. Do you think the one with the long, sharp blades on, you know, the real long ones, do you think those would work? Or I'd probably be better just with the regular roller tiller blade.
I would use the blades that come with it, the tiller blades. I think some of them even come with an edger attachment or something. But one little trick I used to do to mine is I used to sharpen them. Along the blade. I used to put an edge on there, so when it cultivated, it really cut everything up and would do a nice mulch there. Or not only mulch, I'm talking about dirt. The sharper the tines, the better it broke up the dirt and everything. They're okay.
Yeah, copy that. Talking about sharpened blades, the other day I cut my hedges. I got it's an Echo gas hedge trimmers two cycle, and I went over the blades with it with a Dremel. I went over the blades with it, man, that thing is sharp as hell now.
And be amazed, you know, you'd be using something and seems like it's doing okay, and then you run a blade sharpening on them and it'd be like, oh wow, man, if I'd have known this, I'd have did this from the jump street there. Yeah, sharpening, keeping them sharp, you know, lawnmower, tiller. Like I said, though, I don't know if you're supposed to sharpen tiller blades or not, but I know I always sharpened mine. I found it, and it went through, it cut the soil up really much, much better and break everything up. I think I used to sharpen my Mantis. I think I sharpen it once a year. It's about all they needed. Like I said, I didn't use it too many times in a year. Twice, three times, all depending there, okay?
Yeah, copy. I just thought about it. I got two spots back in my backyard that I can use it in. And then I got the front in there where we got bushes and stuff in there. I could go in there and till that, too. I forgot about that. So, but like you said, I don't think it's worth $200. But if I can find one, like you said, after I get done talking to you, I'm gonna look on there and see if I can find something.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, that'd be the smart move. You know, you get it cheap, and you know, you use it and put it away, and you know, there you go to, you know, like you said, maybe twice a year or something. At least you only spent $30 for it. So, you know, it's like, you know, you pay $200 for something you ain't gonna use very much. Yeah, you'll find them on there. They're on there. They're all over the place. In fact, I paid more for mine. Even the used ones for parts and everything back then, I paid more for them than $30. But, well, that was before I had my internet and everything, so I don't know. Yeah, just get on Facebook Marketplace. You might want to go ahead straight in and just type in Mantis tiller, and just avoid all the other BS and get right to the Mantis tillers there, okay?
Yeah, copy. Yeah, that's what I was gonna do. I was gonna do a search on Mantis and see what I can find. Yeah. So, yeah, if I do find one, I'll let you know. But I'm gonna cut you loose here. I'm gonna finish my work. Maybe if you're on later, I'll get on and talk to you. Well, it was nice talking to you, Dave. And oh yeah, by the way, I wanted to let you know, the Shermanator got his boat going today. I guess they got in the water, and he said they put that thing on, and everything's working good. And they went around the lake a couple times, and so everything was good. So I know the link hasn't probably been open, but I just wanted to let you know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, he sent me a text thanking me or whatever and said it's working good, and he sent a picture. Something was with my phone. I don't know. I'm not going to die. People sometimes send me pictures. It only shows up as a black square, no picture. I don't know what it is about my phone, why it does that. But apparently he must have sent me a picture of the regulator mounted or whatever. But, yeah, he said everything works good. He said thanks again, and I got to give him a call a little bit later, maybe see what's happening with him. All right, Kevin, very good. Let me know what you find out. I'd really like to know. And like I said, you'll like it. It's great. It's just if you're on hard dirt, though, you got to brace yourself, man, because it's going to want to jump up and down, jump off the ground, jump off the dirt and come back down, because it's so light. You know, the engine don't weigh but 10 ounces. Well, I'm just kidding, but, you know, you'll know what I mean when you get in there. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. If we don't, you and Tanya have a good day, and we'll speak on you sometime soon. I got a call 902 back. I see you just called me. WSSZ 793, and I'm listening.
Yeah, copy that, Dave. Yeah, like I said, nice talking to you. Yeah, I'm going to finish back, do work back here, and I'm going to look up that Nana. So, yeah, you have a good night. If I don't talk to you, maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow. WCHR 566, clear.
Roger, roger. I'm back out. WSSZ 793, back listening.
Update, WRWB 49.
Mike, what's happening?
Not much, just hung out with the big man for a minute, and now I'm going to be doing something else.
Yeah, roger that. How's he doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, roger that. Someone would be nice every now and then if he'd answer his phone.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, what was that? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I hear you there.
I ain't no big thing, but I text him, he don't text me back. I call him, he don't answer, and doesn't call me back, even if I leave a voice message. So, like I said, it's not a big issue. You know, usually I'm just calling him to shoot the bull anyway, so... You know, if it was something important, I would say, I'd tell you so that he'd get the message. But, yeah, as long as he's all right, that's cool.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, of course. Yeah, just, on my way to go see him, I passed by, your other buddy.
Were you talking about Bones?
I forgot his name, you know, that's what I know him by, but, you know.
Yeah, roger that. His first name's Eric. Hang on a second, I got a phone call. I'll get right back at you.
Okie dokie, this is WRWB 49. I'll be standing by.
Yeah, all right, Mike. Sorry about that. WSOZ 793 ID. Yeah, 902 called me up. I had to take a call from 902 real quick.
I counted that WRWB 49.
It helped if I turn my volume back up on my radio, too. Where you at now?
This stuff over here is 15 mile in Russia.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Bones' first name is Eric. When I first got his number, got in touch with him, we sat on the phone, talked about an hour or so. Maybe I did most of the talking. I was probably so excited to hear from him. We go back a long way, and I haven't heard from him in years. But then sometime later, I texted him, and he never texted me back or anything, so I just was wondering if he was all right there, okay?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He goes over and helps his brother a lot, you know, he helps him out do stuff. I guess his brother can't get around it.
Yeah, roger that. I never knew he had a brother. At least, well, we're going back to the 70s, so I'm not sure. If I ever knew of him having a brother, I don't think so, though. But he hangs on Channel 1, don't he?
Correct.
Yeah, all right. I don't have anything hooked up no more to monitor down there, so I got tired of all the rigmarigging on that channel and on that one channel there, and I just said the hell with it. Got tired of listening to it and all that other stuff, you understand. So I haven't had nothing rigged up. I took the receiver out of line, and now it's just my GMRS radio and power supply. They're okay.
Yeah, anyway, but yep, that's where he goes, and that's where he's at. I try to get him to come up here, you know, and use your service, but he's contemplating, you know.
Yeah, because I remember when I first talked to him on the phone, I asked him if he had GMRS, because I think Big Man said he did or something, and he said no. He didn't say nothing about contemplating it, but I'd like that if he did. He's a great guy. Well-mannered, if you know what I mean. He's a great guy. It'd be great to talk to him on here.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's always been, even back in the days in Detroit and everything. He didn't, he wasn't no problems or nothing. He just spoke with that hillbilly drawl, and he was pretty cool, man. He was cool. He never lost his cool over the radio or nothing, man. Just what he is. So, like I said, it'd be cool to have him up here, because be good to talk to him then. All right, I gotta let these dogs out and do a few things, so. And then I'm gonna get back in here and monitor while I screw around whatever it is here I'm screwing around with, so. I'll put it on you in a little bit. It's good talking to you. It's sounding good, too. Sounding good to the repeater and everything, and everything seems to be working for you, my friend. Anyway, we'll talk to you in a little bit. WSSZ 793, and I'll be clearing after your final.
All right, my friend, WRWD 49 will be standing by.
WSFZ 793 monitoring.
WFSC 902, 973 out there. You bored?
Nah. WSFZ 793 ID. Just watching some stuff on YouTube and moving some stuff around here on the table, and go get me another garbage bag, get this crap off the table there, okay? What's happening over there?
Yeah, well, I've been watching 24 Hour Le Mans all day and then clicking back and forth on it. I got it on right now, but no, today was just a day I wasn't going to do nothing, dude, so tomorrow's a relaxed day, too, so. No, I've been hard-headed the last month, and I figured, I'm going to take a couple days. Tomorrow, I'm probably going to wake up and looks like I can probably cut the grass and weed whip and do all the fun stuff that needs to be done every week. Looking around here, I might dig up a couple shrubs and move them from the front to the back, even though it ain't the time of year to do it. Usually, I like to do that spring or fall, but yeah, just stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, Roger, that. Nice, relaxing work on a Sunday, huh?
Well, I'm trying to say, it's still a little bit of work, but it's easy work to me. It's cutting grass, trimming, and then I'm still looking at my mowers underneath that tarp, and it's driving me nuts. I'm looking at the two snow blowers. I think I got to tear into that one. If I remember right, I got to pull the bowl off it and then clean that port. And I put gas in it, and I tried starting that winter, and it was clogged up again. And I did pull the bolts and clean that porthole out. And I went to start it last winter, and it just wouldn't start. Wouldn't stay running.
Yeah, well, you clean it with that wire and shoot that tarp cleaner into it, and then hit it hard with compressed air. Do it about 3-4 times. Get all that stuff out of there. and it should be good. Sometimes you got to do them more than once. It depends on how much crap got down in there. You get in there with the wire, you knock the stuff loose. You blow it out, and some of that stuff still sticks up on the walls inside the jet, and eventually it falls down and plugs the hole. So, especially that little dinky hole. That little dinky hole that's in the thread up by the top, that's your, that little dinky one. That's your idle pilot jet hole there. The rest, your ones at the bottom where the bolt head is your mains. But, yeah, you got, sometimes you have to hit them more than once to get them good and clean, but, hit it hard with an air compressor, Steve.
Yeah, roger that. Like I said, I think it's either a piece of 12 wire or 14 Romex. I take the ground wire out, fits in there first. And then the tiny one that goes up top, I usually spray carburetor cleaner on it. And if I see it dripping down, I know it's unclogged. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I did it last time. I got them running just before I put them up for the winter. Took it all apart, and then when I went to start it this winter when I needed it, the darn thing wouldn't run. The one that I got off of you, the, I don't know, was it a three horse? Yeah, I think it's a three horse. And, like I said, I went to start it up, and it just wouldn't stay running. And it's usually that, what is this? Yeah, it's a Tecumseh. Yeah, it looks like a three horse. My other one's a five horse, so that's probably a three horse. The one I got off you.
No, the one you got off me is a five. Should say right on the top of the thing. It should say Craftsman five horsepower. Yeah, they're all fives. Three horsepower ones look a lot different. They're a lot smaller. But yeah, just got to clean that jet out again. You didn't. It sometimes happens. There's a. It's not only dirt that can get in there, but the walls get a little gummy from old fuel being in there or whatever. And after you hit it with carb cleaner and scraping and all that other stuff. Sometimes not all of it gets down to the bottom, so you can blow it out with the air compressor, and then as it sits, the stuff drops down, lets go of the wall and drops down and plugs the hole again. That's like I said, yeah, it's been, I've had to do a few of them once or twice. After you do them one more time, that should be it. If you get in there good with the wire and soak the hell out of it with a carb cleaner or a brake clean, and then hit it really hard with an air compressor, all the holes, you should be okay then.
Yeah, roger that. That first, that's the same old I had on, that mini bike I painted, that blue metal flake mini bike I had with the slick on the back, that I got the frame off of Frank of Dragna. With the slick on it, and I put that Tecumseh on there. God, I miss them days.
Oh yeah, I do too. I used to, like I said, I had three mini bikes and a go-kart in the basement, all put together and running and everything that I built. And I had one I kept on the front porch. It was my daily driver. I had a three horse brakes on that one. And I used to ride that thing all over the hell. We used to all ride them all over the place. Police never really did anything. You know, we used to ride all day up and down the streets and alleys and everything and never got in the trouble. Yeah, once in a while I had the road cop pull me over and cut my starter rope or make me flip upside down and dump the gas out or they take the air stem out of the tires. But I was always prepared. That's why when I build on my builds, I used to only use Max Torque clutches. Because the max torque I found out is you take a quarter and you shove it in there, you push the bike, the engine would turn over, and then once it started, the quarter would come flying out. So I kept the quarter on me, or sometimes washers, in case they cut my cord. I used to keep spare valve stems on me, and, well, when they made me dump the gas out, there was nothing I could do but push it to the nearest gas station.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I remember when, it was later on in life, we were a little bit older then, but, I remember when them police officers used to drive around in 125 to try catching us, and we used to walk the neighborhood, so we knew, like, everywhere to go, cut through yards, through alleys, and all that, and they would chase us down. They could never catch us. They would be mad. They'd hear us. They'd hear us on the next block, and then the next block, but they could never catch us.
Roger that. Believe it or not, I used to have a network of alleys set up. I was always close to one of my network, what I called my network of alleys. I got chased one time on one of them 125s. He didn't even, once he got into there was one alley that was really hilly and bumpy. It was third alley, and it was all, had ditches and everything. He couldn't hack it. He stopped. I kept going. Yeah, he used to have me a little network of alleys in rigged up, you know what I mean, right by me. I always stayed right by one of my networks. That way, if I seen a cop or if I seen something, I'd just yank up into the alley and, you know, get on with it, and just in case. Those were the good old days, though, man. I used to get out at 7 o'clock in the morning, carry my mini bike down the steps, light it up, and just go cruising around in the early morning hours there, all right?
For sure, roger that. Now, I was just thinking, we started talking about mini bikes and stuff, and I started thinking about that banana yellow chopper that Bobby had. I remember when Sal got on it, we were over on James Gang's house. Oh, no, in front of Peter's first house. And everybody's riding up and down the block. And Sal got on. All he had on was a pair of shorts. No shoes, no nothing, no shirt. And you could see him driving down the road. And he's swaying back and forth, almost hitting cars from one side to the other side, just swaying back and forth. He's wide open, you know. And he's swaying back and forth, then he hits a car. Then he goes across the street, hits that car. And he goes across the street and hits that car. And he goes across the street and hits the next car. And he never let off. And next thing you know, he ran right into the back of his one car and folded Bobby's chopper up. He'd come back, he was just all road rashed up. Tore Bobby's bike all up.
Yeah, I don't think you remember mine. I had the same exact one. Ruttman Grasshopper is what it was called. Mine was a 5-horse. I bought it from a yard sale next block over, $150. I got on my knees and begged my mom to loan me the money. And she gave me the money, told me I'd tell my dad or nothing. I went and bought it. But the thing is, I didn't have it long. I didn't like it. It was a pretty bike, but I didn't like it. I couldn't ride it. I tried to ride it, I'd be wobbling all over the place. I don't know why. I just couldn't keep that bike straight. And if I rode it, if I was riding straight, I couldn't turn my head to the right or left to look, you know, to see what's happening. Because as soon as I turned my head, the bike wanted to go in the opposite direction. It was a pain in the butt to ride. So I didn't have it very long. I think I traded it for a little Indian, a 5-horse little Indian, and some money, because I couldn't ride it.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, you had yours before Bobby got his. I think it was a couple years after that you had yours and sold it that Bobby ended up getting one. But yeah, we had some good times on the mini bikes, that's for sure. I remember we'd get them up to going to like 45, 50 miles an hour, and that was crazy back when you were a kid. So, yeah, good times, definitely good times. Yeah, I'm just looking at that motor on that
on that snowblower you gave me. I was thinking, shoot, I ought to go get me a frame and put one together.
Well, that's all you would need is a frame and a clutch, as long as the frame's got a chain. But technically, engine-wise, you just need the engine and the clutch, and then, I don't know, whatever comes with the frame, the wheels, and the chain, and whatever else, but, yeah, that, Tecumseh's were a good engine back then in my day. I liked them, but I always been a Briggs and Stratton. The Tecumseh's back then that I had on my mini bikes, if I couldn't find a Briggs, I'd use a Tecumseh, but, you know, I used to run them over the governor, and I'd hold them wide open for, like, blocks on end. And I think maybe three times in my life I threw a rod on one three times. But the Briggs and Strattons, man, I used to hold them things wide open for blocks. I can hold them wide open forever, and I never threw a rod on a Briggs, never blew a Briggs, though.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I probably blew up two or three Tecumsehs back in the day. But yeah, I'm definitely heart and soul Briggs and Stratton myself. And they're dependable, reliable engines, so. Yeah, but I think maybe sometime this week I'll jerk that carburetor off that 25 horse twin I got, that turbo twin I got. I'll pull that one off and go get the rebuild kit and see what I can do with that to get that one running. I got to rake the yard. It's getting, there's a lot of dead grass here I got to pull out. I'll probably get 15, 20 bags just out of the backyard. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, just so you know, there's not really much difference between the fuel pump kits you buy at the lawnmower shop for around $20 and the ones you get from Amazon for like 12. It's all basically the same thing. It's just a piece of rubber and a couple little springs, and that's about it. But the carburetor should be pretty easy to take off. I can't remember if you have to pull the whole intake manifold, and even if you do, it's still easy. It's 4 bolts. But the carburetor's held onto the manifold by 2 bolts, and I think you can get to them. The carburetor just lifts right off, and the only thing you have to undo is the choke cable, which is easy. It's pretty self-explanatory. And once you get the carburetor lifted up, you twist it a little bit, and the link for the throttle comes out of the hole, and you're done. You just got to feed it back in when you put it back on. It's simple. And, yeah, I believe the carburetor should be easy to take off without having to take the intake manifold off. I'm trying to think on my wheel horse, my 18-horse Briggs wheel horse, I had to change the fuel pump. I'm trying to think if I had to pull the whole intake manifold to get the carburetor off or not, and I don't believe I had to there, okay?
Roger that. I thought it was a 25 horse. It's actually a 20 horse turbo platinum Briggs and Stratton IC. It's an opposed twin. But yeah, I'll take the serial numbers. I'll get a picture of the serial numbers. And I'll go up to the lawnmower shop, and they'll give me the right kit. I just looked at it. I just pulled the cover off and looked at it. It don't look like it should be that big of a job.
No, actually, you could do it yourself. If you're just careful and take your time taking, once you get the 4 screws out, you just be careful lifting the covers and everything. It's easy. You just gotta watch out for the little springs, man. They shoot out. Well, they're not gonna shoot out at you or nothing. But like if you're rough taking it apart, cause they sit on dowels, the springs sit on dowels. But if you're rough taking it apart, you know, and one of them falls off the dowel or shoots up, you ain't never gonna find it. So, but it's easy. Like I said, it's nothing. You could do it. I guarantee you'd be able to do it yourself if you just, as long as you take your time and don't be in no hurry or nothing. It'd probably take you all about 5 minutes to change out everything and put the pump back together. But all the Mapoa twins, regardless of horsepower, the fuel pump chips are the same number. They should be the same number. They all take the same fuel pump.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, like I said, it's disappointing if I do it. I bring it over there because the place I go to is on 9 and Gratiot, nearly right down the street. So I just run it by and have you do it or have Junior do it and you supervise them. I don't know. Or even do it myself. I mean, it ain't that big of a deal. So I might just do it myself and have you talk me through as I'm doing it. And that way I know how to do it. Yeah, my days of working on stuff, I'm getting old, dude. I don't know. Especially these newer cars. I just pay people to do it now. It ain't like if I had a Chevelle sitting around, I'd work on it myself, but all this new stuff, I just, you know, it ain't the same. Nothing's the same anymore.
Yeah, I hear you there. I got no problem doing it for you. That's no problem. You bring the car, you bring the kit. You know, I'll pop it in there, but don't let Junior do it. I don't know, for some reason, I'd have a bad feeling that if you let him do it, something, you know, he'll get too stupid and them springs will fly or something will happen, or he'll stick it in there half-assed and, you know, he won't set the diaphragm in right and it'll be all pinched and pinched to the side and everything and not work. Now, if you're going to bring it here, you might as well just have me do it. I'd rather you have me do it.
Hello, roger that. Like I say, it's just one to half dozen the other. I mean, all I got to do is to see how you do it, and then once I see how it's done, you know, it takes the intimidation factor out, so no biggie deal. Like I say, I've just never seen one done. I can learn by watching, I can tell you that. So, it's all good. Roger that.
Yeah, no problem. WSSZ 793-4ID. Did I send you the book to the engine?
Yeah, I think I got it in my computer. I think you sent it to me and I put it in my computer. If not, I looked it up on, Google. I Googled it, too. So I found the same manuals that you sent me, so. But yeah, like I said, I could just ask Siri, say, hey, find me this, and she pulls it up too, so. But yeah, I mean, I've already got the brand new battery and the new starter and all that. It just needs an oil change and rebuild that pump, and it should be good to go. Like I said, I just got to break the estate rake out, and I'll probably do my front yard, the neighbor's front yard, and probably the guy across the street too, so. And I end up with probably like 30 bags of grass, so just in the front. But yeah, it's that time of year. I haven't did it in a few years, and I got to get this one running again. It'd be nice to have it.
Yeah, roger. Well, as a suggestion only, you're going to get all that. Wouldn't hurt to buy a brand new set of plugs for it too. It'd be good. Buy a pair of plugs for it and everything else, new oil. If you can bring up the book, go through the blow-up of everything. There's a blow-up there of the fuel pump, how it goes together. And all you'd have to do is look at that, and you'll see it's not... You'll see why it's better to do it with the fuel pump facing up at you, not facing to the side like it's on the engine. But other than that, you see there's only a couple gaskets, a plastic block, two springs, a diaphragm, and then the cover. And, you know, like I said, if you're careful, you know, like what I used to do is I used to take a little pinch of grease and put it on the end of the spring and then put the spring on the dowel, and then the spring would stay there. The grease would hold it down. Doesn't do nothing to the fuel pump. It doesn't affect it or anything. As long as you don't cover the spring all in grease. But, you know, like I said, I'll do it for you. But if you get something, you get you know, you get some time or whatever, bring it up and look at the blow up of the fuel pump. You'll see what I'm talking about. It ain't nothing to it.
Yeah, Roger that. Like I said, I didn't think it was a big deal anyways. I just, I'll be honest with you, I thought I did something else with the motor, because I couldn't get it to start. But yeah, I'm definitely going to get some new plugs and that rebuild kit. I should be good to go, and hopefully I didn't pop the seals on the cylinders. So, because like I said, remember I turned it, and it was leaking oil out of it. But then again, it might have been gas. But who knows? And like you said, once it heats up, them gaskets will reset, right?
Yeah, Roger that. Well, when the pump goes bad and all that gasoline gets into the oil pump, of course you're going to double your oil capacity. And what will happen is while you're starting it, while you're rolling it over even sometimes, or while it starts, it'll blow oil out of the crankcase vent. That's why when I heard about that, that's the first thing I asked you, is to check your oil, see if it's over full and if it smells like gasoline. You said, yeah, it does. Well, that's where the oil was coming from. They all do that. They'll start blowing oil out of the crankcase vent. Once you drain the oil, you put the fresh oil in and everything, good fuel pump, it won't do that no more. So there's no blown seals or nothing. There's no damage to the motor at all. Fresh fuel pump kit, fresh set of plugs. You know, like I said, the coil is only a single coil. If it's firing on one cylinder, it's firing on the other. There's no way it can fire on one and not the other. It's only a single mag unit. So you don't have to worry about that right there. But, it won't take nothing to get that thing running again.
Yeah, WFST 902 for identification purposes. Yeah, like I said, it's just going on the second year. The first year was the starter and the battery and playing with it. And yeah, I got to get it running this year, that's all. And like I said, I can cut the back grass, the front grass, the neighbor's grass, and even another neighbor's grass probably about 15 minutes when it's running. That's what I love about that machine. I used to be able to cut, four acres in probably 45 minutes. So, yeah, it's a beast, for sure.
Yeah, well, like I said, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, I think the Mapo's twin Briggs and Strattons are 10 times better than the V-twins they got out. I don't think Briggs ever made a better motor than the Mapo's twins, man. They're powerful. They're quieter. They don't vibrate as hell as much as the V-twin. You can beat the hell out of them. I mean, you can beat the hell out of them. And they're practically blowproof. They really are. One thing that concerns me a little bit, I don't know, is your starter. The old starter, man. That thing was so damaged on the inside. The only thing I could figure that caused it was the solenoid being stuck or something, and that starter running while the engine was running, while you were doing your mowing and everything. The starter, because that was heat caused. You can tell that's heat because that armature even swelled up. And it makes me wonder if the starter solenoid sticking and it's keeping the starter going, even though, because you won't know it. It's not like a car. You know, once the engine starts, even if the starter motor is still turning, the gear is going to drop down. So it won't grind or anything like a car starter. You know, if the solenoid sits thick, the starter will start grinding and making noise. You know, yours won't, dumb starters won't do that. It just made me wonder, because I've really rarely ever seen a starter damage that bad. They're okay.
Yeah.
But we'll deal with that when we get to it.
Yeah, no, Roger that. Like I said, it's probably me in an attitude where it wasn't starting. I probably took a hammer to it. Probably beat the shit out of it. You know how I get sometimes. So I think I probably popped it with a hammer. And then when we took it apart, it was just the bad
the magnets were all smashed up. It's probably for me in an attitude. You know how I get sometimes.
Roger that. Well, we'll just stick with the game plan. We'll deal with the starter later. If that's all you did to it, well then, you know, that's that. Probably just have you for the time being. The little cover that goes over the gear. There's a little cover that goes over the starter gear. You take two bolts, you take the little cover off. You can see the starter gear and the flywheel gear. I'd probably leave that off for a few runs and look over and see if the starter's sitting still while the engine's running or if it's actually spinning. Then we'll know. It's nothing. You just take the little cover off. You'll be able to find that out. If it is, then you got a sticking, either got a sticking solenoid or you got the solenoid tickling wire shorting out against the hot side of the battery. That'll cause it to do that too. But anywho, what do you got on for the rest of the night?
24-hour Le Mans, girl. You know, I watch that every year. That and the IT Isle of Man, dude. I love that. Every year, I think like 5 to 10 people die in that race, dude. They're crazy. They're just like wide open. That's just crazy stuff there.
Yeah, Roger. Me, I'm sitting here watching Hillcross, these big dirt bikes with the long extended ass ends and four-cylinder motors and three-cylinder Kawasaki engines and stuff, and they try to get up this hill, this really steep hill, and I like watching that when a new one comes out. That's what I was watching here, okay.
Roger that. I think you need to turn all that off and turn you some tunes on and clear off your desk and finish that. I'll bring you another piece of flooring. It's a little thin sheet of that we put down before you put down floors or tile or anything, and we'll put you a fresh coating on that. And that way your desktop's nice and clean. Roger that.
Roger that. All right, yeah. Like I said, I just want to kind of neaten it up a little bit. Hey, I reached up and I turned the light on. The light came on. So I don't know. I turned it on. The damn thing worked. Well, you know how it is. But, yeah, I just had a curiosity a little while ago. I reached up and hit the switch and it came on. So, you know, we'll see how far that goes there. Yeah, like I said, I'm just sitting back. I'm catching a little bit of my hill climb and then, I got to start, I want to throw these empty pill bottles and junk away and stuff that I don't need up here, and I don't get it all worked out there, okay?
Yeah, Roger that. I mean, I just thought, you know, you get all that cleared off and then get your scanner up there, your new base station, and then the radio you're talking on now all squared away up there, and be nice and pretty. Get your whole desktop cleaned off and, you know, you'll be back in action. Roger that.
Roger that. That's what I want to do. That's what I was... I threw a bunch of stuff away. Not a bunch of stuff, but I threw some stuff away, and then, like I said, I seen that new Supercross up, so hill climbing. So I figured I'd stop a few minutes and watch this. Anyway, let me go ahead and get, my radio's getting hot for some reason. It's getting really warm, and probably because I'm long-winded, who the hell knows. But I'll be out here for a bit, and I will talk a little bit later there, okay?
Well, Roger that. Like I say, you know, we clogged up the airways for a little bit. You know, it was good talking with you. So, yeah, one more thing. When you turn that light on, I think if you hold the button down, it helps that kick it over, too. So keep that in mind, if I remember correctly. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. All right, WFST 902. I'll be signing off.
Yeah, Roger that, man. Sounding good. No problems hearing you, no noise. Sounding good, so that's nice, too, being able to hear you for once. But anyway... Yeah, we'll talk to you in a little bit. I'm gonna let this thing cool down. Talk at you a little bit, my friend. WSOZ 793, and I'm listening.
All right, Roger that. Good enough. Signing off. WSOZ 902. I'm clear.
WRZQ607, monitoring.
WSHR 566 to WSGU 844, you out there?
WSCI 847,
WIUG
48, copy.
WSCI 847, how you?
Very good, how about you, Dan?
What the fans are going crazy, like UHF is all over the place. I'm here in Ontario, like full scale here. On 443750, their repeater system up there, and then I'm hearing 6 meter over the lake also on 534410. So I made a contact in the main on 6 meter FM. So if you have 6 meters, give it a shot there, Jack.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was on 10 meter 2 minutes ago. There was hardly nobody there. I heard one guy way far away. I couldn't get back to him at all on that 10 meter on the upper sideband.
Yeah, WSAI 47. Yeah, that's for sure, Jack. Yeah, 10 meters seems like it's not the best, but boy, 6 meters, you just have to make some noise there, I think. We'll see. Yeah, it's a little short skip. Going to New England here from where I'm at, so a little sporadic-y it sounds like, but sounded good. I assume you're at the base station, right there? Go ahead.
I'm on the base station with that DYP 9600.
Hey, okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I think I could tell last time I talked to you on the HD there or something, but it's kind of a little different, but I got you in there fine, no problem at all. So, yeah, real good, Jack. Good to hear you there. Yeah, B is about one bar here on the mainland, but it's coming in good. So, but we'll see what's going on. Hopefully, this will stay pretty good into the night here, and maybe tomorrow morning should be interesting. Go ahead.
Roger, Dan, you're here 5x9. You're exactly 5x9. I can hear everything you said.
Yeah, real good. Yeah, you're doing great too there. No problem. And the system up, you guys up there is phenomenal. So anyway, Jack, I'll be listening out. A lot of things to listen to here one time here. But you have a great evening, and thanks for coming back and being out there. I'll be around somewhere. WSAI 847, Cleveland. I'll be clear.
Roger, Dan. Good to hear you out there, and good talking to you. Always. You take care and have a good day. And I'm going to go on the 6 meter, like you said. Take care. WIUG 48.
WSGG 772, Shelby Township, monitoring.
Station 772, go ahead.
Hey, Jack, how you doing on this day?
Very good. Nice day, hot day. I was outside. I just came inside. Roger.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. I had prime rib dinner at my cousin's house, and it was very delicious.
Hey, Roger, tomorrow is a Father's Day, I believe, and I think we're going to go somewhere tomorrow morning. Roger.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Tomorrow I'm staying in and doing things around the house and getting the boat ready to go out. I'm on vacation all next week, so.
Roger, you take care and have a good evening. WIUG 48.
Jack, always a pleasure to talk to you. This is WSGG 772, Paul in Shelby Township.
WSGI 847, WIUG 48, copy?
Go ahead, Jess.
I don't hear from you yesterday. Happy Father's Day. I don't know your father or not, but I say Happy Father's Day to everybody. You take care and good talking to you. WIUG 48.
Hey, okay, Jack. Also, best at you there. You have a good, great day tomorrow, too, and have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. WSAI 47.
WSSC 793 monitoring.
WSCI 847. WIUG 48, copy.
WSA 47, go ahead, Jack.
Yes, I even got a hot spot. I usually be on a worldwide 91 on a hot spot. I don't know if you have a hot spot or not, Roger.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. No, I do not have one myself, but that's great. That's awesome. What system are you going to, or do you just look around or whatever, Jack? What do you do there, Glenn?
They call it Boring Line. Boring Line? I don't know if you ever heard that one or not.
Okay, okay, real good. Sounds great. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're getting in there. So, yeah, that's awesome. You can make some great contacts all over the world with that stuff. It's amazing what you can do there. That's awesome. What do you use, your HP to get into it, and how? What do you get? Yeah, you put on low power or what?
It's a very low power from Wi-Fi, and I have 390 GYT. It's a DMR radio, and I'm connected to that. I always want to go on that turn on that hotspot, which is you can build one yourself, or you can buy one. It's not much really to buy one. Roger.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're out there for sure. Yeah, you can definitely build one or get on there for sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, they, a lot of people don't have access to big antenna connections and everything, can use that or utilize it if they're in an apartment or something, so. Really cool there, Jack. Anyway, I'll let you go. I'm just listening around here, so. Have a great day, evening. We'll be around, WSCI 47.
Roger, I was talking to Australia yesterday. There was a guy out there in Australia on the hotspot. I was talking to him for a half hour.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you got some good, you got a lot of fees you got to pay now, right? No, just kidding there. That's awesome. Yeah, that's great, Jack. That is awesome. So, anyhow, you have a great evening. Good to talk to you. The repeater's getting a little faint on this side, a little staticky. So I'll let you go. Have a good evening. just the other call. WSAI 47, I'll be clear.
Roger, Dan, let me know when you got the hotspot. We'll talk on the hotspot, too. I got hotspot and I got all-star. I got two all-star. All right, take care. WIUG 48.
What's happening out there in Clinton Township?
Oh, not too much. Long day today. Hopefully everything's okay where you're at.
Yeah, everything's all right over here. Nice and peaceful now. Somebody over across the street or so started blowing off their explosives a little early. That wasn't no big thing. Now it's nice and peaceful, and I'm just sitting back for a little bit before I hit the bed there. Roger?
I got a few things done. Now I'm just relaxing for a bit before bed.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, it sounds kind of slow out here. For a Saturday night, I didn't think anybody was really out here. I just figured that before I go to bed here, I'd throw my numbers out and see if anybody catches there, okay?
Yep, same here. Are you using the Mount Clemens repeater?
Yeah, I'm using the Mount Clemens repeater. Something wrong?
No, not at all. I'm just a newbie learning.
Yeah, newbie. Welcome to the GMRS community, but before you can become a full-fledged member out here, there's some, you have to complete some tasks. You have to rob 3 banks and be successful, and be successful without going to jail, and then you're in.
Yeah, that's funny, period.
Okay, about that, usually I have a sense of humor. I usually can be funny, I guess, from what I told, but
I'm half in, half out, so it didn't exactly come out that way. But, yeah, welcome to GMRS community, man. You'll find a lot of people out here, good people. Always willing to help you if you have problems, whatever the case. You got Dave over here, WSO, Whiskey Sierra Foxtrot Zulu, 793. Dave is the first personal. Delta Alpha Victor Echo. I'm over here in Warren, around 11 Mile and Hoover there, okay?
I thought maybe that was you, Dave. This is Matt from Clinton Township. We've spoke a couple times. Hope you have a great evening.
Oh, yeah, roger that, Matt. I thought we talked before. I'm looking up my log here. I thought I had you on here, and apparently I don't. I'm going to have to... I probably got you on my scratch pad, and I didn't put you up in my thing yet. Yeah, I remember. I thought I remember talking to you. Yeah, it's all right, though. I was looking up and down my list, and I'm like, I know I have a Clinton Township. I know this guy from Clinton Township. And I look, and I don't. So I got to check my scratch pad, which has a bunch of stuff piled on it.
Sounds good. Yep, I'm WSIE375. Strongly considering getting my girlfriend a radio and antenna set up. She's in Madison Heights. I've got a 25 watt. If I buy her a 25 watt, I imagine there'd be no problem communicating between the two of us.
Yeah, roger that. What's your first personal, Matt?
Yes, Matt.
Hey, Matt. I don't know why. I checked my scratch pad and you're not on here either. But I wrote it down. I usually quickly, scratch it on a scratch pad, and then when I get a chance, I log it onto my computer, log. But, yeah, well, you're not that far, you're not that far from the repeater. You get her on there, yeah, it should have no problem. How far away is she from you?
Well, she's Madison Heights, and I'm Clinton Township, so... The Mount Clemens repeater would kind of be like the wrong direction, I'm thinking. But I do have a Warren repeater program, so I was thinking that's the one I would use between my house and Madison Heights.
Well, if she's going to be on a handheld... Oh, no, you said you had a radio set up for her. Okay. Nah, she had to hit the... You get her something like a DB20 or something, and an Agoya 177 or 771, whichever one I get the two confused, she should be able to hit Mount Clemens no problem there, okay?
Okay, that's great to know. My radio right now is a DB25 with a midland antenna and magnetic base. I'm thinking I would just duplicate the setup for her. Actually, in my Amazon cart right now, looks like I can do it all for about $200.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes that tail is so long. this, I don't know, I can't say a piece of advice, but I give you a piece. Not because I run one, but a DB20 is a lot easier to radio to use than the 25. You might want to consider that. She'd be able to learn the stuff quicker, because DB20 is easier. It's easier to use than a 25, and I'm on a DB20 with a Nagoya magnet mount on a cookie sheet right behind me, on the table behind me. You know, I'm not even outside. I don't even have it outside. I hit Detroit, Mount Clemens. I'm running on medium power, too. I hit Detroit, Mount Clemens, Troy, and I have a friend who just set up a repeater about a mile away from me, and so I'm pretty much in there, okay?
All right, that's great to know. I'll research the 20.
I'm just saying, because that's why I went with the DB20s. Majority of the people out here, because I started running DB20s, I'm sorry. Because I started out with a Balfang handheld. And that's how I started into the GMRS and everything. And I heard all these people out here with these DB20s talking and sounding really good and everything. So I got one because I got tired of the battery going dead on me on my handheld mid-transmit. So I got the DB20, and let me tell you, I don't regret it, and everybody else who got one, who bought one, doesn't regret it either. I'm just saying, I know what the 25 is all about. It's just the 20 is a lot easier to use, a lot more simpler.
Okay, thanks. That's good to know. Maybe I'll just get her a 20. I've actually got my setup hooked up to a battery bank that has a 12-volt outlet, and I'm on my Lazy Boy, and the antenna's just right next to me, and I haven't even got the cookie sheet yet.
Yeah, well, cookie sheet helps ground plane a little bit, but helps the ground plane transmit signal a little bit, but it's the way you sound, you don't need it. You sound really good. You're coming through really clean. No noise, no hissing, no nothing there. You know, and that's all you'd have to do with her. It's just what you got. Just set her up, you know, DB20, DB25. Like I said, the only reason why I recommend the 20 is that it'd be easier for her to learn. Because everything's on the microphone, as you know, and stuff. And it's easier to do things within the 25. But, you know, it's up to you. But, yeah, you sound really good. You're coming through real nice there, okay?
Great, Dave. I appreciate it. You're coming through very clear as well. I think I'm going to sign off for the evening. Have a great night. Maybe I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, and Matt, same thing here. I think I'm gonna monitor for a few more and shut this bad boy down and hit the bed, something like that. I'm gonna log you up on my computer first before I do that though. But anyway, good talking to you, man. That's the deal of getting into GMRS, man. Just talk to people. If somebody wants, you know, I got a pretty good sized log here, and most of my contacts on this log started as radio checks. Somebody keep wanting a radio check, I give it to them. I don't care. I try to help people out. And a lot of times, you know, I give them the radio check, then we start talking. Next thing you know, I'm going to log this guy up. So I'm going to do that. You know, just anytime you get the opportunity to talk to somebody, just do it. You know, that's everybody out here is friendly, and they go for that stuff. But anyway, you have yourself a good night. And maybe we'll talk again very soon there, my friend. WSFZ 793, and I'm listening after your final.
Thank you, sir. Catch up with you soon. WSIE 375.